Hey everyone, welcome back to the Go Getters podcast brought to you by Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our friends over at On Milwaukee. This is also the Quentin Elms farewell tour. Number one. He's leaving Milwaukee for Denver. We were messaging. I wanted to meet up with the guy and then wanted to stack a couple podcast episodes today too. So he was nice enough to come back in the studio. It's kind of nostalgic sitting with you here. We got Dids in the building. Media Bolt's been helping us out with production a little bit. Welcome back.
Man, it's been like, what, 2 years? Year?
Since you've been on the podcast?
I was on with Ian Abson.
We're in here. You were on with Ian. You were on with Dids and Izzy back in the day. You remember that? You've been on in here. I'm trying to think if you were on one more. I don't think you were.
Yeah, just those two.
Three times. No, we spoke on some panels together back in the day. But yeah. Third time in the studio. And the final time. We might be moving soon. You're moving.
You're going to come to Denver?
We will be staying in Milwaukee. I might personally come out to Denver, though. It's nice out there.
See me fall on my face on a snowboard.
Nice out there. Fuck no, dude. I can't. I went skiing in Aspen for the second time in my life last year. My dad's trying to get me into skiing, and I'm 33 years old at this point. And the only time I went skiing was when my aunt took me when I was 12. And I'm not a good adventure sports guy. I'm kind of a wuss when it comes to that stuff. And I went down half a bunny hill. My girlfriend said I went down a walkway. I'm getting passed by like these 5-year-olds, and I'm just like, Dad, I'm not mad at you. You had 18 years to take me skiing and you went 0 for 18. I don't think you should be forcing me into this at age 33 when I could break an ankle or something.
Aspen, do well.
Yeah, it was a fancy place.
Maybe we'll just go to a brewery.
It was a nice spot.
We'll go to a brewery.
I love breweries. Yeah. That's where I enjoyed that trip a little more than the ski hill on there. But that was the restart and end to my skiing / snowboarding career.
Great story, man.
I'm sure the listeners got a big thrill out of that one. Okay, for those who don't know, Quentin, better known as Q, one of the most talented creatives I know, a podcaster, speaker, LinkedIn machine, basically put Milwaukee on the map through LinkedIn back in a few years ago. You and the Misfits, Dids included, very talented writer as well. It's been blowing up on TikTok a little bit lately.
Yeah, a little bit. A little
does
pop.
It all. Little pop. He was also the founder of Urban Misfit Ventures, which was a personal branding company that, if you're in Milwaukee, I'm sure you're familiar with, that folded at the start of the pandemic. We'll go into that a little bit. Then you just worked with Lewis House for about a year, who is one of the most successful podcasters in the world and one of the most successful online entrepreneurs in the world. So it'll be interesting to chat with you about that. You just left. Now you're going on your own to create full time. And as I said, moving to Denver.
Good recap, man.
There you go. You've had really a whirlwind of the last 5 years or so in the city of Milwaukee. Can you just walk the audience through how you got your start in creating, then maybe a little bit of the Misfits day and how you got to this point you're at right now?
Yeah. So getting started creating, I was a singer-songwriter for a long time. Created on YouTube, sang in like coffee shops, things like that. Nothing really major. And I've always written, always done things like that. But towards the end of like my college career, I was like, hey, like I want to do this virtual reality thing. And I'd launched an agency at the same time because I needed to make money. Virtual reality company folded within 6 months because I realized I had no idea what I was doing. I've told this story over and over and over again. And I get so sick of it. It's the first time in a while. Then I was like, okay, need to make money. What can I do? So I moved from content marketing to social media marketing to personal branding to all these different things in marketing just to see if one thing would stick. Finally, one thing did, which was personal branding. But I was recording videos this entire time from YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and then finally moving to LinkedIn. That's when it really started to pop. I had a company around the same time where I was helping to build people's personal brand on LinkedIn. And I just got I realized that I didn't want to do it on my own. I didn't want to do it myself. So that's when I met Dids. Izzy was my former college roommate, and then Brema, and then we linked up, started Misfits, and here we are, you know?
Yeah. When you were starting out, you were making a ton of videos on a ton of different platforms, and nothing was popping off, right? And then LinkedIn, all of a sudden, you kind of caught lightning in a bottle. Can you touch on that? Because I think that we'll get into the creator economy, but I feel like a lot of people see the finished product and these stars on these social platforms that are getting a ton of views, but don't necessarily see everything behind that.
Yeah. So when I started out, it was just, this is my life. This is what I'm going through. This is what it's like building a company. This is what it's like being a young Black kid building a company, just talking about my life. So there was no real value there. Nothing super creative or anything like that. I was just sharing my story. That started on YouTube, and I did like, I want to say like 97 days of just talking about my life, like no value at all. But what I was doing was getting comfortable on camera. And here and there, like you'd see a video with 100 views. I think I looked back recently, I took this all down, but I looked back recently, there was one with 10,000 views, but it was just like this random 360 video. It'd be like punching a punching bag, like just a vlog style thing. Like, so I was just dabbling and testing and trying all this stuff. Then I moved to Instagram because I'm like, okay, YouTube's very hard to grow on, which it still is. Mad I moved, but I moved to Instagram, then Snapchat, then all these different platforms. Found some success on a platform called AskWhale, which was just question and answers, kind of like Quora, like, hey, how do I grow a company? Or how do I build my personal brand? And then experts would answer those. And then that company folded. And then that's when I moved to LinkedIn. And even then, you know, like LinkedIn didn't even have video at that point. It was just text posts. It was a lot of like line by line, overly dramatic stories of like founders, like learning a lesson in the airport line and like in McDonald's line, things like that, like overly dramatic stories. Then they released video. And at that point, it was like 500 plus videos for me, not like overly produced, just like me talking to the camera or Snapchat things like random videos. Then they released video, and that's when I started to pop off. But it wasn't really overnight, you know? The first video hit 30,000 views, then it was 1,000 views, and it was like 2,000 views and 100 views, and then slowly, slowly it started to grow. And that's when my life really, really started to change. Went from nothing in the bank account, literally nothing, like negative $700, $900, like not being able to pay my bill, power turned off, to speaking all over the world, you know, and getting a job at Lewis Howes, working with dope clients. But it was the videos that really started that.
You just enjoy doing those? Or what kept you going when you're 90, 100 plus videos deep and really nothing to show for it?
Yeah, honestly, looking back, I think if you asked me then, I would have said something different. But looking back, it was just, I was hungry, like physically hungry. Wasn't eating, didn't have anything coming in. I also had a really big chip on my shoulder, and I wanted to prove to everyone, not even myself at that point, to everyone that I was good enough. And that's what kept me going. Like, I was just an angry kid, you know, angry and hungry kid that had something to prove.
Yeah, we just had Truman on the podcast right before this, and he was talking about how he had like recently got laid off from his construction job, and he was living with his parents, single dad at like age 28, and chopping sweet potatoes in his kitchen at 5 a.m. and selling spring rolls on the street. And it's like, he just sold, you know, struck a big partnership with Palermo's. And it's like, you almost need that chip in your back against the wall to keep you going when you got nothing else.
Yeah. What I'm trying to do now is, how do you work and how do you move when you don't have that? Because it can be a very healthy thing at the start. I think you need it though, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And what are you on to now? You just left your job with Lewis. What's next for you?
Yeah.
So why?
Yeah. So my little brother passed away in 2019. It was just a big shift for me mentally. So that was like right before the pandemic. Then we had COVID, then like BLM, all these, just everything that's going on in our world right now. And just for me mentally, I've just always buried things, go on to the next creative project, go on to the next thing. I synced up with Lewis because he was on my podcast. He was the first guest on my podcast, my storytelling narrative show. From there, he's like, yo, this is super dope. And I was like, hey, can I work for you? This is what I'm thinking. Ended up leading his marketing team for a year. But I realized that I just don't want to hustle, you know? Not that I don't want to work hard. I just don't want my life to just be work. And that, like, that's what happened with the Misfits for me. Like, I was just always working. You work yourself back into a job. Like, even the videos that you're creating, if it, there's not a system and a process there, it's just, it's a job. It becomes a prison. And I found myself in a prison consistently. And I love that team. I love doing what I was doing there, but I was just hustling all the time and not taking care of my health, not taking care of my mental health. So I'm leaving, one, for my mental health, for my health, but also just to focus on me. I've always built other people's personal brands, and by like nature, I've also built my brand, but I've never gone all in on me. So leaving to focus on my mental health and just live, man. So going to Denver, we're going to be chilling in the mountains, creating content, running social experiments, just doing whatever I want, when I want, how I want, which for me is my ideal lifestyle. It's just taking me a while to learn that that's what I want.
Yeah. What was it like for you? You lose your little brother, then your company, you guys shut your company down shortly after that in the midst of a pandemic. Like, what was that time like for you mentally? Was it just kind of a big reset on what's actually important in life, and what did you learn from that?
Yeah, it's rough, man, because it's like death alone, like just no one wants to talk about it, but like it's a bitch, you know, like it sucks. I mean, I think it definitely changes you. I just did a social experiment on grief. Like, I know it changes you. For me, it was like very, okay, like, let me go down this journey. Let me figure out who I am and what I really like. But also on top of that, with a pandemic, that's also grief. Like, all the things that you face as a Black male growing up, all of a sudden are thrown at your face. Like, this is what, like, it's everywhere. You can't get away from it. Not that I could get away from it before, but it's just amplified.
The BLM movement.
Yeah, just amplified everything. People on your streets, like people randomly high-fiving you or high-fiving you and throwing their fist up. Like, it was just a lot. And then, like, you grieve the loss of your company. You grieve the loss of the people that were in your company that you built this thing with and the people that you hired. And for me, like, it felt like I had nothing. Like, I had a personal brand. I had a little money. Like, that was about it, though. But seeing, like, Brema, who was one of my old business partners, like, go out to LA and crush it and know exactly what he wanted to do. So proud of him. So excited for him. But it's like, damn.
Part of you that's a little envious,
like,
right?
Shit. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to start this podcast that I don't know if I really want to do. And then Izzy, same thing. Did, same thing. And then there's, like, for me, it was like, lost my brother, lost my company. All this stuff is happening. I have no idea who I am. After knowing exactly who I was for my entire life, I felt like. So it was just like a loss of identity, grief across the board from company to brother to just everything.
Yeah. So you're going through that. And then you land a job with leading Lewis's marketing department, which is a pretty big deal. I mean, they've just absolutely killed it for years. What was it like working with them, and any like eye-opening things that you came across there?
Yeah, dude, it was amazing. The first the first week I was there, like I was in a virtual, not physical room with like Tony Robbins and like Russell, like all these people. So like just seeing that world and seeing how the top personal brands operate and how they grow and what they've done to grow and this very specific things that they focus on just taught me so much about growing. And for a long time, I was like, okay, I'm just a LinkedIn guy. That's all I'm good at. Now, being there for like a month, I was like, okay, cool. I met this TikTok guy who just works with a bunch of brands. And he's like, dude, you're dope. What are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. What am I doing? And the first video I post viral on TikTok. And then I just kept experimenting. And I think just seeing how they operate also showed me what I'm really good at. And helped validate the skills that I had built up until that point. And also just everybody at that level, they're just humans, you know, like Tony, Lewis, Jay Shetty, like Sophia Amoroso, who I was on a stage with in Clubhouse, is like my hero, like just very, very eye-opening. And it just humanized everyone and showed me really what's possible. Really anyone can get there. They're all special in their own way, you know, but all still human.
Yeah. What kind of, going into this, you're obviously, you know, jobless right now. I'm sure you got some other stuff going on and you're about to embark on this journey, really going quote unquote all in on yourself for the first time. What kind of headspace are you in?
Yeah. So dude, I'm chilling. Like I feel great. Like I'm not like struggling for cash or anything like that. Like I was still doing stuff on the side when I was there as well. Honestly, I was making, yeah, just I've always done stuff on the side. I don't think I'll ever be able to stop doing stuff on the side. I just, right now, I feel so much like myself. I feel so clear because it's not, hey, like, we've got a big challenge or a big webinar coming up or a new product or a new podcast that we want to launch or whatever it might be. I don't have anyone else's thing to worry about. It's just me. So I'm still consulting, but I'm really just going to be focused on creating social experiments and myself. That's about it, man.
Yeah. And you just got into this LinkedIn creator program recently. Is a bunch of the stuff you're doing for social experiments through that, or what is that?
Yeah. So I was going to do it regardless, but that is helping me do it. Yeah. So LinkedIn Creator Accelerator Program, it's like a small, $15K grant, and then education networking through LinkedIn, really just focus on creators and bringing more content to the platform.
That's cool. A lot of people are listening, probably wondering, how do I build a personal brand? How do they get to achieve some of the things that you've achieved before, whether it's building a following or stepping on a big stage, stuff like that? And I want to start with misconceptions. Like, what do people see all these creators right now? There's such a wide spectrum. What are the biggest misconceptions about this quote-unquote creator economy?
Yeah, I think a lot of people assume that they need to be Lewis level or Tony Robbins level in order to like have real success, or they need a million followers on TikTok or Instagram or whatever to have a lot of success. And it's not the case. Like, there are newsletters out there that have a few thousand followers, a few thousand subscribers, and they're making millions, you know? And there are others that I know personally that have millions of followers on TikTok or Instagram that are making zero, like absolutely zero. So it's not always about the numbers. And even the big, big people, a big issue that a lot of really big personal brand, personal development people have is that their audiences are so broad. So it's very hard to monetize because it's like, okay, like we're going to partner with X, Y, and Z company. We want to sell X amount. Like, how are we going to do that? I have no idea because I don't know who I'm speaking to, you know? So being a little bit more targeted is probably the better play. You don't need thousands and thousands and thousands or millions of followers in order to monetize. Yeah, you just need to have a good understanding of who you're talking to.
What are your views on monetizing content? Because that's a big question that I get in the podcast world a lot. Oh, how do I monetize my podcast? How do I monetize this? What's your view on that?
Like, is it good? Is it bad? Or just how to do it or what?
Yeah, how to do it? How are people, how's this newsletter with 5,000 subscribers making $1 million and this kid with a million TikTok followers making jack shit, I think? Is there, yeah, advice on monetization?
Yeah. So the newsletter that I'm referencing, I don't know the name. I'll find it for you, but it's a Ferrari like newsletter, right? Something like that. Very specific. There's a lot of dollars there and they'll buy stuff. Again, they know who they're speaking to. Whereas a TikTok follower who's just maybe
an affiliate Ferrari newsletter, maybe they have.
I don't even know how they monetize. I just know their numbers. That's
probably
it.
Have a bunch of Ferrari customers on there, and maybe they're talking about the new products or whatever, and getting a commission off that, and they're high dollar products.
And there's a lot of different ways to go about it. It could just be a 360 partner. Like I have no idea. A lot of different ways to go about it. Whereas like a TikTok follower who's maybe like me. Or a creator like me who just tells stories, at least what I've done to up until this point, I reach so many different people. It'd be very, very hard for me to say, hey, pay me X amount of dollars. I've done it. But again, it's because of LinkedIn and other things that I've built. But on TikTok, pay me X amount of dollars so I can promote your product when I have no idea if people will buy it. Just having a little bit more clarity. When it comes to monetization in general, I think what's most important though is understanding what kind of life you want to live. And I think this is something that people just don't talk about. Like so many, at least it's just me, okay? For me personally, like I don't want a prison, right? I don't want to create another prison. I don't want to work myself back into a job.
And when you say that, you're basically saying, I don't want to be answering to all these clients or have to be doing something.
You want to
be kind of free-flowing freedom,
and
do your own thing
Maybe for you, you're like, I love working with clients. I love doing this. And me, I hate it, right? I don't want to. So what does that look like? And what's the best way for me to monetize? What is that? I love to write. Okay, let's do a newsletter. How can I monetize this? What are the different ways? What's going to give me the best return? Okay, I love creating and interviewing people. What's going to give me the best return? Monetizing like that versus what does Q do? What does Richie do? What does Lewis do? What does Jay Shetty do? Understanding what your life looks like, your ideal life, and then monetizing that way. I think that is the best way to approach it, and just find someone that already does it. You know, there's so many different ways, from NFTs to gated content to 360 partnerships to like experiential. There's so many different ways.
And I will say, it helps when you have a legit product or business or service on the back end of your content. That's how a guy like me, for example, can monetize a podcast for a good amount of money without a huge following, because people find out about us and then they engage with us or end up working with us. And it's led to a lot of new quote unquote high ticket deals, where someone who, has a big TikTok following, but it's broad. Okay, what's the value of
that? They have nothing to sell. Yep.
Exactly. Because even you look at it in the podcast space too, and it's people start a podcast and they want ad dollars. Well, okay, ad dollars is $30 per 1,000 downloads is what you'll be able to get. You can shove 3 ads in your show and get 90 downloads per 1,000, $90 per 1,000 downloads, but that means you need 10,000 episodes to make a grand off a podcast, and the average podcast gets about 150. Good luck, right? So
it's very hard to grow right now in podcasting too, so.
It's not easy. There's things you can do. There's things we've done recently to help some shows, but it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not really the easiest to grow on any platform right now, I would say. Maybe you have different TikTok advice. I know that's gotten more difficult. JMAT was telling me to get on that years ago, and then I just tried posting some stuff, a few months ago, and didn't get much, but I was kind
still
of
good. You still good.
All right, well.
Podcasting and YouTube are the hardest for me. I'd say those are the two, but most rewarding.
What about, it is nice. I mean, once you have someone actually listening to a podcast or watching one of your videos on YouTube, the watch time and the listen time is way higher than someone just whipping through a feed and seeing you for a split second. I guess we just kind of went over that, but any other pieces of advice to people looking to build a personal brand?
I think I could say a lot of things. I think the best piece of advice, and I think everybody says it, but I think it'll get you where you want to go the fastest. Just find someone that is, again, living that ideal life. And the ideal life, maybe they're making a lot of money, but are they happy with their life? Are they living a life you would want to live? And then build a relationship and replicate. I think that's going to be the fastest way that you'll be able to get there. That's how I was able to grow faster. I just found people that did what I wanted to do. Again, that's why a big part of why I joined Greatness, the top of the top, I wanted to learn what went into it.
You got some damn good exposure to those people. Going back to your time here in Milwaukee and all you did here, what would you say was the most exciting moment or time period for you?
I was just thinking about this. Dude, 2018 was lit, man. 2018, for me, it was just so much
you
energy.
Guys were rolling. Was that the first year
that was
of
the first
Misfits?
Year, yeah. 2019 was more successful, but 2018, the energy.
Was that getting from 0 to 1 or 0 to 2 that is special, I feel?
It's beautiful.
Especially for people who are wired entrepreneurially to get something off the ground. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You can keep going.
No, that was the most exciting time. just felt good, And for me, I'd failed so many times. That felt and tasted like success. And I think a lot of it went to my head very quickly. Didn't realize it did until later, again, after my brother, but very exciting, exciting time. But learned a lot through it, I'll never make those mistakes ever again.
Hey everyone, big thank you to Q for stopping by, coming on the podcast. It was good seeing him, and I really appreciate all your support. If you have not already, please subscribe to the show, leave a review. That helps us get more ears on the podcast, as well as help us position the show. So please do that. If you have not already, I'd really appreciate it. And just a reminder, this show is brought to you by Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our good friends at On Milwaukee. Thanks again for tuning in.